If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
It's an Open Line Friday. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here across the nation from my flagship station, WSB in Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome to those of you in Oklahoma City. Glad to have you as our latest station. All right. I got to get into everything here, but the phone number again, 877-973-7425. I want to read you the list that we can confirm. We've got some surprises ahead for the gathering list, but I want to give you the list that we can be public about, so you know who's coming. Vice President Mike Pence, Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, Governor Ron DeSantis, Governor Doug Ducey, Governor Brian Kemp, Governor Kevin Stitt, Governor Glenn Youngkin, Attorney General Chris Carr of Georgia, Oklahoma School Superintendent Ryan Walters, former Senator Kelly Loeffler of Georgia, Senator Pete Ricketts of Nebraska, Senator Rick Scott of Florida, Congresswoman Kat Kamick of Florida, Congressman Kevin Hern of Oklahoma, Congressman Rich McCormick of Georgia, Congressman Chip Roy of Texas, Georgia House Speaker John Burns, Dave McCormick running for the Senate in Pennsylvania, Sam Brown running for the Senate in Nevada. We can't tell you everybody who's coming, and now we have to, for security reasons, close off the list at the end of the registration at the end of the month. Make of that what you will, but if you want a ticket, you can text ENGAGE to 33777. If you're a young professional and want to come, if you put in the discount code YR, you get a substantial discount. Thanks to one of the attendees from last year who wanted to make sure that we had some young professionals in the room. He didn't think we had enough last year. He was sitting with an older crowd. He didn't turn around. But nonetheless, we'll take advantage of him. If you put in the discount code YR, you get a substantial discount to come to the gathering. Text the word ENGAGE to 33777. We are less than a month away now from the gathering. I would love to get the room as filled out as we possibly can. Now, headline of the day from my buddy Alex at NetJets. Scientists want a deeper probe of Uranus to clear up perplexing traffic jams. Has nothing to do with Joe Biden. Has to do with the planet Uranus. It's just the headline of the day. Well played to hothardwire.com. Apparently, there's some radiation traffic jam there. There is a traffic jam in front of microphones in Washington, D.C. today as Democrats rush to demand Joe Biden get out of the race. Poor old Joe. I got to tell you, it was kind of remarkable to me to see him. He held up as best he possibly could, except he had a few moments. A buddy of mine was in London. He's listening right now, I bet, online, even though it's late in the evening there. And he texted me. He says, "Oh, my gosh, did Joe Biden really call Volodymyr Zelensky Vladimir Putin?" Welp, yes, but he did catch himself.
"And now I want to hand it over to the president of Ukraine, who has as much courage as he has determination. Ladies and gentlemen, President Putin." "President Putin. You're going to beat President Putin. President Zelensky. I'm so focused on beating Putin, we got to worry about it. Anyway, Mr. President."
"I'm better."
"You are a hell of a lot better."
"Thank you so much."
Now, I wanted to play the whole clip for you there because I don't like to take people out of context. And even Joe Biden, it's very funny to just say, "Oh, he called him Putin." And he did. But he caught himself very quickly, and he had a tongue-in-cheek response of, "Oh, I'm so focused on beating Putin, I want to beat Putin. Here's Zelensky. He's better than Putin." So, yeah, he did it. And then he caught himself. You can't really hold that one against him. The problem is he did that there. And then last night, for the whole world to see, he did this.
I wouldn't have picked Vice President Trump to be vice president, but I think she was not qualified to be president.
Yeah, twice. And he didn't catch himself on that one. He didn't catch himself on that one. He just kept talking. The problem for Joe Biden is we kind of now live in fantasy land with Biden. Before the press conference, this is David Axelrod's view of it from the Obama camp. And again, there's a story we will get to that there is a coup afoot. The Clinton and Obama staff are trying to boot Joe Biden. I actually think that makes it more likely that Joe Biden stays. But nonetheless, there's a coup afoot among the Democrats. You know, democracy is at stake, so we have to launch a coup against the sitting president of the United States. That's how badly we've got to preserve democracy. Well, here's Axelrod before the debate or the speech.
Axelrod, let me start with you. What, if anything, can President Biden do tonight to slow the growing calls from Democrats for him to step aside?
I'm not sure he can slow it, Wolf, but he can accelerate it if he stumbles or if he says some of the things he said in his interview with George Stephanopoulos that enraged some Democrats. But I really think this debate is in a kind of advanced stage now, and a lot of people have made up their minds, including voters. And now it's really a question of how the president internalizes all of that and what decision he wants to make, because at the end of the day, it is his decision. But obviously, there's going to be a lot of eyes on this press conference. The stumble with the introduction of President Zelensky was unfortunate and an unfortunate prelude to this. But I'm not sure this press conference is determinative. I think that a lot of minds have been made up. And I think these next 48 hours are going to be very important.
Yeah, okay, except follow along with the timeline here. The Republican National Convention begins in Milwaukee in 3 days. The odds that Joe Biden announces before the convention that he is going to step away are slim to none. He's got a Lester Holt interview on Monday. He's going to the Lyndon Johnson Library in Texas for an award. He's on the campaign trail today in Wisconsin. Trump is going to pick his vice presidential nominee. That's going to become a story, and every day that goes by makes it easier for Biden just to stay in. And of course, you know, Marist now has a poll out for NPR and PBS NewsHour that shows Biden leading Donald Trump 50-44 in a head-to-head matchup, which is actually an improvement. This comes a day after the ABC Washington Post poll showing a tied race. What's really notable to me in this is that the debate is completely before, or the poll is completely after the debate, and that voters are asked generically without names what's more important, a president being honest or a president's age, and overwhelmingly voters say a president being honest is more important than a president's age. All of these things seem to be an inducement to get Joe Biden to stay in the race. There is a series of polls now out that look favorable to Joe Biden. He can interpret them very favorably, despite his own internal polling. Trump was up at over 3% of the Real Clear Politics polling average. He's now up 2.7. He's gone down some, but ABC has it tied. Emerson has Trump up 3. NPR has Biden up 2. It's now the only poll to have Joe Biden up, but he's up. So they can say, well, we need more time to see. And meanwhile, last night, frankly, whether you like him or not, Biden had a solid press conference. And that's the problem for the Democrats, is it was solid enough for him to say, I did okay. I've recovered from the debate.
And I might add, there are at least five presidents running or incumbent presidents who had lower numbers than I have now, later in the campaign.
I w- wish someone would tell him to stop doing the whole creepy whisper in the microphone thing. That's kind of gross, but nonetheless, it's what he does. And he still says the data and the polling is premature.
Overwhelming. And so tomorrow, if all of a sudden I show up at the convention, everybody says we want somebody else, that's the democratic process. It's not going to happen.
Even if that means they vote for someone else?
Sure. Look. I'll end this with this. I served in the Senate a long time. I understand the impetus of candidates running for local office and whether they think the top of it can help them or not. In my state of Delaware, which was a very, at least a purple, it was a red state when I started, in terms of where you now talk red and blue. I don't recall most of the Democratic presidents winning my state when I was a candidate. The truth of the matter is I understand the self-interest of a candidate. If they think that, you know, running with Biden at the top is going to hurt them, then they're going to run away. I get it. But so far, go and look at the polling data in their states. Look at the in-depth. And by the way, I think you'd all acknowledge, and you're all experts. I'm not being solicitous about the president. You're experts on this stuff. How accurate does anybody think the polls are these days? I can give you a series of polls where you have likely voters, me versus Trump, where I win all the time. When the unlikely voters vote, he wins sometimes. The bottom line is all the polling data right now, which I think is premature because the campaign really hasn't even started. I mean, it hadn't started in earnest yet. Most of the time, it doesn't start till after September, after Labor Day.
You know, that clip goes on a little longer, but he's not really wrong there. He's not really wrong. The problem is that that's old school, and early voting sometimes starts at the end of September in some places, but he's not really wrong. It's just kind of painful to and monotonous to hear him say this sort of stuff, but he doesn't sound like he wants to go anywhere.
How can you reassure the American people that you won't have more bad nights, whether they be on a debate stage or on some matter of foreign policy?
Well, I tell you what, the best way to assure them is the way I assure myself. And that is, am I getting the job done? Am I getting the job done? Can you name me somebody who's gotten more major piece of legislation passed in 3.5 years? I created 2,000 jobs just last week. So if I slow down, I can't get the job done. That's a sign that I shouldn't be doing it. But there's no indication of that yet. None.
I got to say, Hakeem Jeffries, the leader of the House Democrats, met with him last night. And I'm not sure that that conversation went very well. I think the tenor and tone of some of the conference questions last night probably highlighted for him a different reality than he thought he was in. But I was wrong about something. I try to correct myself when I was wrong. I was pretty convinced some of these reporters were going to try to take the president out last night so that they could redeem themselves. It did not happen. They were respectful questions from members of the press. Now, just so you understand the list was not, let's go to the most favorable people. Every president tends to go with the same order. Now, what is the order? The order tends to be you start with Reuters. It used to be UPI back in the day. UPI was the longest existing syndication company for the news. UPI is out of business. So that Reuters and then the Associated Press. And then you get to go to the New York Times and others like that. And so you go to the big national print press first. What I noticed was he didn't do ABC, CBS, NBC. CNN, he did do the New York Times. He did international news as well, which is a somewhat deviation from the planning, but it was also a NATO press conference, which is probably why. I doubt they did do pre-screening of some of the questions, but they certainly, like the New York Times reporter David Sanger and others, that they asked more favorable questions. I really expected more hostility, and the hostility came at the end when he said he was done asking questions And you heard Pete Alexander from NBC News with his booming voice capture the crowd. And you called Vice President Harris Vice President Trump. You did it with Zelensky earlier. What do you say? Good for Pete Alexander for standing up and calling him out on that. And Biden, his response is listen to him, meaning listen to Trump. Here's the problem for Democrats. I think that Joe Biden didn't stop his bleeding last night, but he slowed it down. And that makes it harder to get him out of the race. They would like to get him out of the race. There is a lot of polling data out there now that does suggest that Biden is still a viable candidate, but just not as viable as someone else. There's so much polling that shows so many Americans don't actually like Donald Trump that if Democrats replace Biden, they would probably have an easier time beating Trump. In the same way, if Republicans replace Trump with someone else, they'd have an easier time beating Biden. But right now we're locked in, Trump versus Biden. And Biden last night made it much harder for the Democrats to get him out of the race, even though they're trying.
You can follow Eric around on social media at EW Erickson on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. And check him out at EWErickson.com. Want Eric's weekly recipes? They're super delicious. Text recipe to 33777 now.
It's an open line Friday. The phone number 877-973-7425. I'm going to go to Daniel's phone call first today. Welcome. How are you?
Good, Sean. It's great to be on your show. I'm sorry, Eric. I didn't mean to mess that up.
No. But that's all right. Well played, Mr. Putin.
Yeah, why couldn't I? Hypothetically, and it's probably far-fetched that he's not going to, which I'd rather him stay in the race so
Me
he
too.
Can continue to face and stumble over his own feet. But who would she pick as her possible VP? That's one of three quick questions. The second is the campaign or the party's asking those to go dark. But I kind of feel that maybe Trump's got a card up his sleeve in his cuff pocket saying, I'm not telling a dang I'm sold, not even the closest guy next to me, because it could not be Vance. Vance is a growing tomato. He's got his time coming. And me, I'd like to see Glenn Youngkin because that's a toss-up state, and or Tim Scott. But we'll just have to see, and we'll wait it out. So, and it's hot out here, and I'm out here knocking on doors for Trump, and my air conditioner just went out. So you know what?
Oh, gracious. Well, listen, I will tell you, there is a logical pick for Kamala Harris. If she's the nominee, there's a very logical pick for her, Roy Cooper, the governor of North Carolina. Why? Because North Carolina is a swing state, and Roy Cooper is a Democrat who can win that state. It becomes a very swing state if he's the nominee and moderate Democrats like him. He would be a steady hand. Now, you need a steady hand for your tech support. You need Vision Computers, whether you bought a computer from Vision or you bought it from someone else. They can be your tech support and in 15 seconds or less give you the answer to whatever you have about your computer. All you do is call them 404-COMPUTE. And strike up a deal with them, $179 a year per computer, $179 a year, not a month, a year. They can be your tech support. Now, if you've bought a computer from Vision Computers, the tech support comes with it. You don't have to pay extra. But if you bought a computer from the big box electronics store and you got issues and can't go find some nerd to fix it, well, you call Vision Computers in 15 seconds or less, you get the answer. They can do email support, printer support, anything you need. You've lost a file, it's somewhere on your computer, they can find it for you. They're great people, and y'all, they really do great jobs building computers. In fact, we've just run into an issue with our son and his computer. Not their fault, but they were able to get it fixed real quick. VisionComputers.com or 404-COMPUTE. Tell them I sent you, you get an even better deal. 404-COMPUTE, anyone nationwide can call them and use them.
He's got the courage to tell you the truth, even when it isn't popular. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. It is an open line Friday. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Those of you who are on hold, please, I want you to be patient with me. I need to spend a few moments here talking about something before I get to phone calls, while it's fresh in my mind, so to speak, because I think I'm the first person to point this out. I don't mean it arrogantly to say, but I do think I'm the first person to point this pattern out. And that is, I want to play for you, first of all, Rachel Maddow on MSNBC.
Motivations coming from, even if he's not correct about his own political...
Okay, I'm sorry, that's Chris Hayes first, but you can't really tell the difference.
...or in denial about the inexorable trajectory of being a human being who is mortal, like we all are. To me, clarifying.
And, you know, you make a really important point, Chris, that I think we can't say frequently enough as Democrats and people who want Donald Trump to be prevented from returning to the White House sort of anguish over this decision, which is that there is not perfect information about the future. And the argument that President Biden is best positioned to beat Donald Trump is an argument. There are other arguments that are also data-based that other people might have a better shot at it.
Okay, I'll stop there because I can only listen to that so much. Then there's David Axelrod.
Caitlin, he said at the end he might change his mind if his team came to him and told him that he couldn't win, but they haven't done that, or that someone else had a better chance of winning. If that's the case, then they're not really leveling with him about where this race is, and they really should. It's not fair to him. If they're not telling him the truth, he is in a very, very tough spot. I don't know anyone in politics who would tell you, who looks at the numbers that we see, would tell you that he has a very good chance to win this race.
All right. So you got Chris Hayes, you got Rachel Maddow, you've got David Axelrod, you got all the people on CNN, you got a lot of the anchors out there, you've got the editorial boards of the Washington Post, the Boston Globe, the New York Times, and elsewhere, all saying, Joe Biden, you need to go. You know what they all haven't got? Oh, and let's not forget George Clooney, and you got Michael Moore. You've got the Pod Saves America guys, John Favreau and the like. What do they all have in common? They're white people. Many of them white men. Joe Scarborough. Yeah, I mean, the list goes on. White men saying it's probably time for Joe Biden to go. What I find very notable is the loudest defenders of Joe Biden are black. And what's notable is if Joe Biden went away, the odds are Kamala Harris would be the nominee, and yet they would prefer Joe Biden. Now, the dirty little secret is Democrat focus groups, not Republican, not independent, Democrat focus groups of black men and black women tell them Kamala Harris is not a good candidate. That's the dirty little secret. You'll know one of the dogs not barking here is the aggressive defense of Kamala Harris. No one's out there really defending her. In fact, they're talking about let's do a rapid open primary or have an open convention. That's an admission against interest. Democrats privately know she's not a good candidate. Their internal data, their internal focus group. I know this for a fact, by the way, that their internal focus grouping for Kamala Harris is brutal, with black women, no less. Black voices on television are the biggest defenders of Joe Biden. Here, listen to this last night from Ashley Allison on CNN.
Joe Biden stays in the race, I'm going to do every single thing I can to defeat Donald Trump. Because as a black woman living in this country that has less constitutional rights than I had from the day that I was born 42 years ago, I refuse to live under Donald Trump's reign again. I refuse to risk our democracy. And Joe Biden is the person right now who is able to defeat him. And so when people are saying, do something to prove that you have the command of the knowledge, and you stand up and you call on 10 reporters and you answer 19 questions for 59 minutes, then I ask you, if you go and say step down, then what is the test that he must prove over and over again? Because then it feels like you, as a person who was calling for him to step down, is being disingenuous. Now, I'm not saying it's not wrong, because that debate was terrible. And Joe Biden has acknowledged that. But as people who are living with the fear of a possible dictator to take over this country, I just ask you, as a Democratic Party, And I'm not super excited about Joe Biden, but I am terrified of Donald Trump. To get it together for the people that you are asked to represent, there is too much at stake. And I don't understand what more people need after a night like tonight to say he is the leader of the free world. I sometimes on television say, but for the grace of God that I am not held to the mistakes I make sometimes on television in the days of my life. And I'm a little annoyed and I'm furious because I talk to black people who have saved this country over and over, who helped elect Joe Biden, who saved the Democratic Party time again. And black people are saying, let it go, folks. And yet again, when you look at the people who have called for him to step down, they are not the backbone of the Democratic Party. And that to me is frustrating.
They're a bunch of white people. She's right. It is remarkable. The strongest defenses you get on television from Joe Biden are black Democrats, the constituency that's beginning to leave the Democratic Party. Jim Clyburn's another one.
He's done fewer news conferences than any president, the last seven presidents, fewer news conferences, fewer interviews like this. Do you think this White House has shielded him too much?
Well, I don't know what the magic number would be, but I do believe he is pacing himself.
You can acknowledge he has not been out there as much as some of his predecessors. Has that been to his detriment?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about that. I do know that all of us, I've been asking him to do more town hall style meetings, because I think that he performs well when he interacts with people. And I think people feel better about him when they're allowed to interact with him. I don't want people to think that you got to be going through the trials of a press conference. If you let the press look in on your interactions.
But Congressman, don't you think that would help allay a lot of the concerns that people have in this country, that the president's not up to the job, if they saw and heard him in more unscripted settings on a more regular basis?
Well, that may be true. I'm not saying that won't be the case, but I'm saying that is not required in order to prosecute the case. Get out among the people.
Lastly.
And Biden, of course, is upping his unscripted events. But so now there's Jim Clyburn. Now here's Val Demings as well.
Val, what do you see in Hu Liang's logic? It's an A to Z logic.
Well, Jose, it's great to be with you. And let me just say this. There are three people who could be the next president of the United States. Donald John Trump, who has been found liable for sexual assault, stole classified documents, I'm sure, for personal gain, multiple indictments, multiple felony convictions. There's Joe Biden, who has proven every day that he can do the job by doing the job every day. And, you know, to say that, well, my God, what will happen in 3 or 4 years? Well, we don't know with any elected official what they will do in office in three or four years. The third possibility is Vice President Harris. And I truly believe that Vice President Harris is capable of leading us to the next level and also carrying on Joe Biden's legacy. Jose, what I am disappointed about are the Democrats who have come out against the president and saying that they don't believe that he can win, when we don't know which Democratic potential candidate can win. And until we have our strategy together, a winning strategy, until we have a plan B, that we have the polling and other factors that will help us believe that they have a better chance of winning than Joe Biden, I think that it would be wise for Democrats to stay in that back room, continue to have those discussions. Let's get our plan B together, especially the 17 who have come out against Joe Biden. You know, I think it's interesting. 17 out of what? Or 17 out of 213 people in the House, 47 senators, 4 independents, and 1 who have come out in the Senate.
And they're all white. Well, okay, 2 Asians, but mostly all white. It really is remarkable. And now there's Jamie Harrison, the chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
All he wants allows him to do that. And what you have seen on the Republican side is them falling in line. Knowing all of that they've known, twice impeached and all, falling in line. The reason why the polls are as close as they are, and they're close, they're razor close, is because we as Democrats need to solidify behind our guy. Stop the hand-wringing, stop all of the cerebral hoops that we're jumping through, and focus on Joe Biden, a good man, a decent man, a man who has worked hard to transform this nation.
It's just telling to me. It really is eye-opening to me that the most aggressive defenders of Joe Biden are not white. The people who want to throw Joe Biden overboard are white. The Congressional Black Caucus is his staunchest group of supporters in the United States Congress. You risk sabotaging the black vote that already so signs among young men of drifting to Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not going to win the black vote. Anyone who believes Donald Trump is going to win the black vote is a fool. But Donald Trump doesn't have to win the black vote. If he just picks up 5% more of the black vote, you can't stop him. And the Democrats are playing with fire in this. It's just the most striking thing. The white guys want Joe Biden to get out of the race. And the black voices in the Democratic Party are saying, no, we need to stick with Joe Biden. This has the potential to tear apart the Democratic Party. It will be funny to watch. When the Democratic Party became the party of the awfuls, the affluent white female urban liberals, Chris Hayes to Rachel Maddow, suddenly they're wanting to push out a president who has great support in the black community. And it's just remarkable to watch this play out on television. And no one seems to have noticed it except for me, when repeatedly, time and time again. You've also got Bakari Sellers on CNN. I don't have the audio, but Bakari Sellers yesterday was essentially saying, why don't these Democrats shut up? Stop airing their laundry in public. If you got concerns, go to Joe Biden in private. Otherwise, stand with Joe Biden. This, again, has the potential to tear apart that party. And now you've got the NPR Marist poll coming out showing Joe Biden's actually in the lead. And more people are concerned with an honest president than an old president. These are destabilizing times for the Democrats. It is fantastic to watch it. Go pop some popcorn. It's not going to get better for the Democrats. It's going to take them a little while to resolve this issue. And they've got to convince Joe Biden to leave. And thus far, they have no plan. They have no fallback plan. So they can't convince Joe Biden to leave without a fallback plan that they don't have. Now, we got to move on. Before we move on, though, I got to tell you, there are rumors that the Fed may cut interest rates sooner than expected. The markets are doing well on the news, but we don't actually have knowledge of what the Fed is going to do. And that's why Swiss America has been sounding the alarm on the economy and the secret war on cash. If you're interested in safeguarding your hard-earned cash from the secret war, you can get their free report called The Secret War on Cash. They're rated A+ by the Better Business Bureau. Swiss America can educate you on protecting your assets, and you can get the report. It takes less than 15 minutes to read. It can save your retirement and finances. What you do is you go to SwissAmerica.com/Eric, or you call or text 800-289-2646, 800-289-2646. The all-out war on cash includes digital forms of currency, and you can just mention my name, Eric. If you text them, just mention Eric, E-R-I-C-K, or call them and say Eric Erickson sent you. You get the report completely free. 800-289-2646, 800-289-2646. Message and data rates may apply.
When the world seems crazy, he'll keep you sane. It's the Eric Erickson Show. Want to be on the show? Come on, be on the show. Call Eric now at 877-973-7425.
Greetings, conversationalists. Welcome. It is an open line Friday. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Mark, you're going to be up next. Welcome to the Eric Erickson Show.
Hey, Eric. How are you?
Great. What's going on?
Well, you know, we've got the president has, you know, moments and didn't look great in the debate. Didn't look that bad last night. I was kind of wondering if if he can stay like he was last night, which wasn't too bad, do you think that the country might start to see all of his little verbal tricks as endearing, like when he says, you know, anyway, things like that, to where it starts almost to become almost an asset for him?
You know, at one point, I think it was the case. At this point, I think we've kind of crossed the Rubicon on that, too. I think Americans pity him and resent that he covered it up. Had he been honest that, yeah, I'm getting older, I'm making more verbal issues, but I'm okay, as opposed to the gaslighting for 3 years that there really is nothing wrong here and it's Republican cheap fakes, I think that would have been the case. I think they made a very strategic error by not being as candid as they could have with the American public. It's somewhat it can't come back from. It's irredeemable and unforgivable when you as a candidate lie to people for so long, gaslight them that there's nothing wrong, and then everyone realizes that they have believed it the whole time. It's like an abusive situation, and I don't mean to make light with the comparison, but just follow along with me here. The story gaslighting comes from a play where a man would dim the gas light in the home to abuse his wife and make her think she was going insane. She would say the light was dim and the husband would insist it wasn't, over time repeatedly, driving her to the brink of thinking she was insane and she wasn't. It was an abusive situation. We have all for 3.5 years seen the decline of the president with our own eyes, and his advisors have insisted it's deep fakes, cheap fakes, Republican dirty tricks taken out of context, and none of it was, including at the Clooney event where even George Clooney now says it was obvious there's something wrong with the president. Because there was a cover-up and they weren't honest about it, I think there's a level of unrecoverable resentment from the American people. That it's not just that they pity Joe Biden now. This is a man in public decline. They resent him and his team for having lied for so long. And you can't come back from being pitied and resented at the same time. You can come back from one or the other. It's actually easier to come back from resentment than pity. Once people begin to pity you, it's hard to recover from that. And he is pitied now and resented. And that's a problem for Joe Biden. This hour of the program is brought to you by First Liberty Building and Loan there in Noonan, Georgia. But don't let that dissuade you if you're in Kalispell, Montana. Anywhere you are in the nation, First Liberty Building and Loan can help you. If you're buying a building, buying a franchise, or you need a heavy equipment loan, something like that, they can move fast. If you got good credit, they can move fast, and they can be with you. So they're not, your lender's not changing. First Liberty's been in the business since the 90s. They're still going to be around. Reach out to them, FirstLibertyGA.com. FirstLibertyGA.com. Great people. They want to help if they can. Now, when we come back, we got a lot of other stuff to talk about, including the conspiracy spin from the media. It's happening in real time. The American press corps that have been serving as puppets of the Biden administration, they are convinced that this idea of a plot by Democrats to oust Joe Biden is a conspiracy theory of the right. At the same time, they're reporting that there's a Democratic conspiracy growing to oust Joe Biden from the nomination. They're trying to have it both ways. They're trying to attack the GOP and also report what's going on. I don't think it's going to work. Hakeem Jeffries has had private conversations with Joe Biden now overnight after that press conference. When we come back, I'll take your phone calls as well. 877-973-7425. It's an open line Friday. It's also the 20th anniversary of redstate.com, where I got my start in public punditry, and I want to talk to you about that a little bit as well today. All right, we'll be back with your calls and so much more.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!